How many are glad this morning that we serve an every day, every hour God? Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. And every day, every hour, that's so good. Thank you. Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. I want to invite you to take out your outline this morning out of your bulletins. And if you have a Bible, let's turn to Acts chapter 2. And that's a good song. Lord, I need you. We need you. I just want to say, if you are just joining us this morning, last Sunday, we started a brand new series called Every Day, where we are exploring what it means to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And one of the things that we're spending time actually in the book of Acts, and one of the things that you will discover when you read the book of Acts, what you see is a people who were fully devoted, fully committed, totally abandoned, even in the face of tremendous opposition, in the face of adversity, and yet these were people who lived out their faith each and every day. And I just think there's so much that we can learn from them, and so that's what we're doing over these next few weeks. And just how that the Bible, the big idea of this series is how God is calling us to live out our faith in Christ at all times in every circumstance. And it's not uncommon where the temptation is to only follow the Lord when it's convenient, or when we're not having to face too many adversities or challenges. But you know, these were people who were all in, who were in the midst of tremendous opposition, and yet they were completely abandoned to Christ and were willing to follow him at all costs. One of the statements that we shared last week, and I just want to, we'll bring it up on the screen here again, just to kind of help give us a bit of a foundation, is that it's in total commitment. Maybe we'll just, yeah, there it is. It's in total commitment and full devotion to Christ that we find the blessed and full life that we were meant to enjoy. Friends, there is no joy in half-heartedness. How many know that's true? There is no fulfillment in living a life that is only partially committed to Christ. We mentioned last week how that you'll never hear the World Series team, the team that eventually wins the big game, the big championship, you will never hear them say, "I wished we had not given it our all." You will never hear a successful family, a marriage, ever say, "You know, I wish we would have just, not been as committed to our marriage." You will never hear that, because the richness and the fullness and the finding meaning and blessing is only in full commitment. And that's what God has called us to. That's the challenge that he's invited us to. And so from the book of Acts, we are looking, and from the early church, we are looking at how these early church believers lived out their faith in Christ every day. We're looking at what was important to them. We're looking at what were some of their regular practices. What were some of the things that caused the early church in the book of Acts to be a vibrant, growing community of believers? The kind of church that people wanted to be part of, in spite of the challenges and hardships that they faced. And the thing that we're going to look at today is in Acts 2, verse 42. We read this whole section last week, but I just want to pause on verse 42 today, because we're going to look at where it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer." The one key word that we're going to look at today was the priority that the early church gave to the apostles' teaching. You might have the old King James Version where it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And so we're gonna take some time and talk a little bit about the apostles' teaching or the apostles' doctrine. What had been happening up until this point was that a few thousand people had already come to Christ. The church was growing. It was still very early on. People had been repenting of their sin, had becoming followers of Jesus. The church was alive with brand new believers, which I believe every church should be alive with brand new believers. It should be normal that people are coming to Christ. I really believe that. Acts 2:41, we read that on the very first day, Peter, the apostle, had given a message, and 3,000 people came to know Christ and were baptized on that day. Acts 2:47, it didn't just happen on day one. It continued. It says, and the Lord, look at verse 47, and the Lord was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. On the first day, 3,000. How many would say 3,000 is a pretty good day? That's a good day. It's a good day. Worldwide, there are literally thousands of people, even today, that are coming to Christ. And we need to celebrate that. We need to thank God for that. But I really believe that individual churches like Comox Pentecostal Church, that we need to see more people coming to Christ on a regular basis and celebrate that and be part of that. And I really believe that part of what we're talking about, as we commit to these regular practices that we see in the early church, we will see more of that. It's interesting that as the early church committed, submitted, were devoted to these different things, that the outcome was that the Lord was adding to the church daily those who were being saved. And so today we're focusing on the commitment and the devotion that the early church had to the apostles' teaching or the apostles' doctrine. The question is today is, what did the apostles teach? Did they just kind of teach their own ideas? Did they just kind of teach kind of some new fad that was going around? Did they kind of teach their own agenda? The answer is no. And it's really important that we get this, because what the apostles were teaching became the foundation of the early church. The things that excited the apostles came and was brought forward, and it became literally the foundation stones of the early church. So the simple answer to the question is, what did the apostles teach? The simple answer to this is that the primary teaching in the early church was centered on the life and the person of Jesus Christ. And when you stop and think about it, it's obvious how that came about. Because these disciples, these apostles that were now tasked with building the church that Jesus had come to establish, these disciples had spent, for the last 3 years, they had spent every day with Jesus. Every day they had spent being discipled by Jesus. It was like a 3-year internship that these disciples had with Jesus. They had walked with Jesus. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have spent 3 years every day with Jesus? Wouldn't that have been awesome? You know, the cool thing is, in many ways, we have that privilege today, because when we invite Christ to come into our life, He lives within us, not just some days, but we invite Him, His presence. We have His presence each and every day. So in many ways, we have the same thing. But they had walked with Jesus every day. They had talked with Jesus every day. Every day they had the opportunity to ask Jesus questions. They listened to Jesus every day. They watched Jesus. They observed Jesus. They watched how He lived out His life. They saw what Jesus valued. They saw what was important to Jesus. They saw how Jesus treated people. And you can imagine the profound impact that Jesus had on these disciples, that they were now carrying. And they they wore the first bracelet. What would Jesus do? You know, they were the ones that started that whole thing. And I'm just kidding. But that's what that was the foundation of their lives. That's what motivated these disciples, these apostles, was the teaching, the life of Jesus. And so the primary teaching in the early church was centered around the life and the person of Jesus Christ, his works, his commands, his teachings. That became the centerpiece of the apostles' teaching and doctrine. You have your Bibles, it might even be in your notes there, Matthew 28, because so the question is, what did the apostles teach? What was their doctrine? Well, they basically were responding to the command that Jesus had already given to them back in Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus' command was to make disciples and to teach. And let me just read it with you. In verse 19, Jesus, and this was nearing the end of his ministry, Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So we already saw this happening on the first day, on the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 people came to Christ. And what was the first thing that happened? They were baptized. I want to just say, if you've given your life to Christ and you're following him, wanting to serve him with all of your heart, and you haven't been baptized, that's a great next step for you. And I want to encourage you to talk to us, and we'd love to help you to take that next step. But then he says, baptize them, and then teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Basically, Jesus was saying, what I've taught you, you're to teach them. What you've learned from me, they need to learn. And so the mandate, Jesus gave a strong mandate to teach. I think sometimes the word teaching, or sometimes teaching kind of gets a bit of a bad rap, because, like, you know, sometimes we think of teaching and we think of boring. Sometimes we think of teaching and we think of more boring. and I just think we need to elevate the role of teaching. We need to elevate the place that teaching and the receiving good teaching, we need to elevate that in our lives. Because could you imagine raising our children without teaching? Can you imagine if all of the teachers, and where's Lisa Brown? Can you imagine if all the teachers just said, we're going to all forget it. There's no more teaching. We're never going to teach again. It would be a terrible day if teaching was taken away from the development of our children. Jesus understood that in order for the church to thrive and for his kingdom to advance, there needed to be good teaching. And so we need to give lots of room and place for the teaching and the instruction of God's word. And so Jesus was basically saying, what I've taught you, you teach them. Parents, moms and dads here, you have a responsibility. It's the primary responsibility in the home for parents to teach their children the ways of God, to teach their children the things of God. We see that in the Judeo, the Hebrew, in the Jewish culture, where in Deuteronomy 6 it says, fathers, teach your children when you get up, when you're walking along the way, when you're going about your day-to-day business, teach them. And so we see this command, this emphasis on teaching, to be something that will cause the church to thrive, and that we need to be committed to it on a daily basis. So what are some examples of the things that Jesus taught? What were some of the commands of Christ that these people were being called to now obey, to follow? And what these disciples needed to pass along to this infant, baby, brand new church? Here's just a few quick examples. One of the primary ones that Jesus said or commanded was that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and strength. Jesus said, love God with everything you've got. Be fully devoted to that. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, one of the things that Jesus taught was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Another one he taught was seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You can read about that in Matthew chapter 6. Another teaching of Jesus, he said, we need to take up our cross. He says, take up your cross and follow me. He talks about denial and denying yourself and following him. Another one, he said, love your enemies. You see, not all of the teachings of Jesus are necessarily palatable in the sense that they're easy to do. And yet he said, love your enemies. He said, pray for those who persecute you. That was the teaching, the commands of Jesus. He says, pray for those who mistreat you. Forgive those who wrong you. These are the teachings of Jesus that were now being passed on to the early church. Jesus taught about wealth and possessions. We were talking about this in our council meeting the other night, how that we should never apologize to ask people to surrender their wealth and their possessions to God, because Jesus talked about it a lot. He said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. Jesus had a lot to say about loving and caring for the poor. Isn't it interesting that the early church really cared for the poor? I wonder where they got that idea from. Think about it. They got it through teaching. They got it through what had been passed on to the apostles through Jesus and now was being transferred to this early church. Jesus had taught things like beware of false prophets. He was concerned that this infant church might be deceived in some way. And he said, be careful. He said, he taught them that you need to be ready because I'm going to come again. Jesus taught this. They are now passing this on to this infant church. Jesus taught them, he said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send out laborers. He said, the harvest is plentiful and ripe and ready to be brought in. Jesus taught that. Jesus taught evangelism. Jesus taught, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Jesus taught, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus taught this. And now these early apostles teaching these early Christians, these infant Christians, that there's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to God. Not many ways. Not a multitude of ways or convenient ways. There's one way to God. And Jesus taught this. And now these apostles were now teaching this to their people, to the people who were now coming to Christ. All of these teachings, and I've just given a handful, all of these teachings of Jesus would have influenced the teachings of the apostles. How many think the apostles had a pretty good foundation? The apostles had the greatest teacher, rabbi, of all. And now they were following through on what had been given to them, and that was to teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. In addition, the apostles, in their teaching, not only did they bring forward the things that Jesus had taught them. One of the things that was huge in the apostles' teaching was the resurrection of Jesus. These apostles they were only days removed from the actual resurrection of Jesus. And they came to understand that it was the resurrection of Jesus that actually validated their faith. And so it's interesting that right on the, and we're not going to take the time to read all of this morning, but Acts chapter 2, the very first sermon that was preached as the early church got its beginning, Peter was actually quoting out of the Old Testament, because that's really all they had. He was quoting how this whole idea of one who would be risen from the dead was prophesied about. And in Acts 2:32, it says, in the first sermon, Peter says, "And God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of this fact." Basically, he's saying that the resurrection of Jesus validated everything that Jesus ever claimed to be or who he was. And so the resurrection became a huge part of the apostles' doctrine. Acts 4, verse 33, it says, "And with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." It became a huge part of the early church's teaching, the resurrection of Christ. And so, the apostles were tasked with this responsibility to teach. And, you know, the early church didn't thrive just because they had good teaching. The early church thrived because there was people who were willing to give themselves to the teaching. The early church thrived because these thousands of people that were coming to Christ as the church was being added to, they actually said yes to the teaching. They actually said, we will receive this teaching. We will obey this teaching. We will follow this teaching. We will surrender to the implications of this teaching. Because it's one thing to be taught. It's another thing to actually receive it and apply it and let it influence our lives. And so this early church, every day these people were being taught the ways of God. Because it talks about how that they would gather in the temple courts. They would, from house to house. And you can just imagine that everywhere they went, they talked about the Lord. It's kind of like in our culture today. There's just something about when Christians get together, people who are fired up for God. Seldom do you ever have a day go by when they're not talking about something about what God is doing in their life. And I think it should be normal. It should be something that every time we get together, whether it's in your small group or whether it's in around a coffee table, where you just talk about the things that you're learning, the things that God is teaching you, things that are happening in your life because of the influence of teaching and God's word in your life. And so make that a normal practice. Next question, why is good biblical teaching still needed today? And really, that's the question. Do we still need to do this? Why is it important? Why is it important that I expose myself to good teaching? Let me give you a few quick answers, and you can write this in your notes this morning. Number one, it helps me to grow. Biblical teaching helps us to grow in our faith. I've kind of personalized some of these. It helps us to grow in our faith. I put in my notes here, it helps us to grow up. And teaching helps us to grow up in our faith. 1 Peter 2 says that we're to crave pure spiritual milk. But thankfully, we don't have to stay as babies just drinking milk. We can move on to the meat of God's word. And part of the responsibility of good teaching, or one of the outcomes of good teaching, is that we learn to feed ourselves. You know, sometimes you hear people in a church, they might say, "Well, I'm going to another church because I'm not getting fed." Well, you know what? We need to learn how to feed ourselves. Can you imagine, you know, a 20-year-old moving to another family because, you know, his mom and dad don't feed him anymore? I mean that sounds kind of corny, but that's almost the way it is when people, you know, use that as an excuse. And I understand we want to have good, solid teaching and all that. But there's a responsibility placed upon ourselves where we need to learn how to feed ourselves. Does that make sense? And that's where we help each other. We grow together in this area. And so we move from the spiritual milk to the meat of God's word, and we learn how to do this together. That's why I think it's so important that people get connected to small groups and things like that, because it's in those environments that people grow and they learn and they develop how to have good practices that will help them grow in their faith. Biblical teaching, secondly, helps to renew my mind your mind. Romans 12 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. There's something about the Word of God that renews our mind, renews our thinking, and helps us to have a mind that's centered on Christ. Number three, along with growing and renewal, biblical teaching helps to protect me from just having my ears tickled. I love the way the Bible kind of paints pictures. And this isn't in your notes today, but let's, if you have your Bibles, I want to just read a passage from 2 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul is giving instructions to young Timothy. The Apostle Paul gave instructions to Timothy about the importance of good teaching. Start at verse 1 if you have your Bibles open. He says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. This is Paul giving this charge, this admonition to this young man by the name of Timothy. Verse 2, he says, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage, and with great patience and careful instruction. In other words, if you wanted to tag it together, it says, preach the word with careful instruction. Preach the word. Give the word in such a way that it's handled carefully. For the time will come when men and women will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around themselves a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, I like this, he says, keep your head in all situations. It's good, isn't it? Keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. But it's interesting what he says here. If we don't have biblical teaching, if we don't have sound teaching, what can happen is that there will be a time that will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around themselves a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. I would say, in a lot of ways, we are living in that day today. There's never been a time when there are more teachers. There are more voices. It's one of the great challenges that we have as pastors and leaders today in our churches, is because there are so many voices and so much. All you got to go is on the internet, and you will find all kinds of voices, all kinds of, and some of these people are well intentioned, but you know, it's not always about, you know, getting onto the next fad that's out there. But we need to stay connected to the fundamental, basic teaching of God's Word, because it's in that that's going to help us to keep a sound mind throughout all the confusion and all the confusing voices. And a lot of times what happens, people are simply looking for something that will just kind of tickle their ears or support their point of view. That's one of the dangers of the internet. If we want to find something that can just support our point of view, it's out there. And what it tends to do is cause all kinds of confusion in our lives. And so, I don't want to get on a rant on any of that, but I guess my point is, like, let's just take the simple truth of God's Word and apply it, teach it, apply it, and allow it to transform our lives. The next one, and we've already mentioned this briefly earlier, but biblical teaching helps us to guard against false teachers. And Jesus in Matthew 7 said, beware. 1 John 4, he says, test the spirits. See if they're of God or not. Because he cares about us. Biblical teaching, next one, helps us make wise decisions. I love Psalm 119. Verse 97, he says, your commands make me wise. There's something, God has tremendous wisdom to pass along to us. There's tremendous wisdom that we can receive through the teaching and instruction of God's word. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We don't live our lives just on our opinions, but rather, what does God have to say about this? What does God have to say about how we should respond to this situation, how we should respond to this challenge that we're dealing with in our life, maybe this challenge that we're having to deal with in our business or whatever? What does God have to say? What wisdom can I receive from God that can help me make a wise decision? Next thought here on why good teaching is needed, why biblical teaching is needed. Because it helps to equip me for every good work. If you still have your Bibles open to 1 Timothy, we read from chapter 4, but if you look back to the last verse of chapter 3, Paul said to Timothy, he said, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness. See, that's a great verse right here. It covers it all. The word of God covers all these areas. So that the man of God, that the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. How many know that God has a good work for you? God has a good work for us. God has a great work for Comox Pentecostal Church. And he doesn't want us to go out there just trying to figure it out. He wants to equip us with right thinking, with training in righteousness, with teaching that is useful and helpful, that can transform our lives. And so we need to submit ourselves to this. Another one, the biblical teaching helps others as well as yourself. Look at 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. He says, watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So in other words, as you receive good teaching, you need to pass that good teaching along, because it's not only going to be helpful for you, but it's going to be helpful for the people that you influence. We influence. The Bible actually says we are like living epistles. You know, we have the epistles in the scriptures, these letters that have been written to these different churches. But you are a letter to the world. You are a letter to the world that's being read every day. And your life and your influence is actually has the potential to not only save yourself, but also save others, because they're going to respond to the things that you're responding to. And so, this is kind of a more of a practical message today, in the sense that what can help us thrive every day is a willingness to submit and be committed to the teaching and the instruction of God's word. It's interesting that in the early church, in Acts chapter 5, I love what it says here, and this is an encouraging word for us today. And especially those of you that maybe have more of a ministry in the area of teaching, don't ever become discouraged that your gift of teaching is not helpful or useful. We need teachers in the church. We need not just pastors, we need people who can teach the word of God. And we need to be teachable. One of the hardest things sometimes about being a teacher is when you have people that aren't teachable. You know what I'm talking about, Lisa? You know, like when you can look out and people are just kind of like, just snoozing, you know? You guys never do that here. But it says here in Acts 5:42, it says, day after day, everyone say that with me, day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped. Everyone say that with me. Never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. When I read that scripture, it was encouraging that what we're talking about is something that needs to be part of our everyday. And as a church, we're committed to being a place where we encourage everyday teaching, everyday devotions, everyday time meditating with God. Psalm 1 talks about delighting in the Lord day and night. And one of the fruits of that is that we will be like a tree that's planted by rivers of water. The reason a lot of people dry up is because they're not spending time daily in the Word of God. They're not allowing this important element of their life to flourish, or they're not taking it seriously. But in the early church, we see that they never stopped teaching. The people were teachable. The people were hungry to receive God's word. And so I want to, as we close this morning, I want to encourage you, us, that we elevate the value of teaching in our lives. That we elevate the willingness to receive teaching. The willingness to be instructed in the ways of God. That we are teachable. If someone comes to you and perhaps there's times when you need to be corrected or I need to be corrected, that we don't resist it, that we don't resist the instruction of the Lord, that we don't resist the instruction of God's word, but we are willing to receive it, that we're willing to even, maybe we've thought we were on the right track and we realize that, you know what, I never thought it this way. I've never seen it from that angle of Scripture. That we're willing to actually be open to the instruction of the Lord. Because sometimes we can become stubborn and not, you know, it's something that we've always thought or whatever, and haven't exposed ourselves to perhaps God maybe has something else to say to us. And so we need to value teaching. We need to apply the teaching of God's word on a daily basis. And so everyday devotion, everyday meditation, everyday receiving. God, what are you teaching me today? Even as we come on a Sunday morning, folks, let's not come just out of a sense of religious duty. But come and say, God, would you just open my heart today? Open my heart to your word today. And just allow the teaching of his word to impact and influence your life. And so let's all stand together, everybody. And so, Father, we just want to thank you. Let's just thank him right now. Father, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you, Lord, that you've given to us teachers. You've given to us people in our lives that we can receive instruction from. Father, I thank you for every parent in this place who are the teachers of our children. And I pray that you would just help them to take that role seriously. That as fathers and mothers, to take the role of instructing their children in the ways of God, where the Bible is the center, where Jesus is the centerpiece of it all. And Lord, as a church, that in every area, with our children downstairs, even now, that the truth of your word that's being planted in their hearts today, that it will take root and it will flourish. Lord, as our children, as youth gather during the week, young adults, as they gather during the week, as the times throughout the week here at Comox Pentecostal Church, that these times of teaching and instruction, God, that you would just cause it to flourish. Lord, in our small groups, Lord, that these would be great times where people engage your word and learn from each other, where there can be teaching and correction and training in righteousness, Lord. We pray that all of these things would flourish in our everyday. I want to pray your blessing over each and every one here this morning. And we just want to thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can I encourage you to, as I mentioned earlier, to be praying for Pastor Mike as he comes next Sunday. You know, it's interesting that one of the things that came out of the teaching of God's Word, the teaching, the breaking of bread, fellowship and prayer, the very next word is that it says, and there were signs and wonders, and the people were amazed at what God did. And we're gonna explore how that we need to take advantage of every opportunity. You can see God gives us opportunities every day to take that mindset of Christ and take it into our world. And so I want to just encourage you to be praying as we gather with, as Mike comes and is with us next Sunday. Before you go, if there's anyone that needs prayer this morning, even now, as we dismiss, I want you just to come on up here, and we're going to invite our prayer team even now, if our prayer team wants to come up. And they'd love to pray with you today. Maybe there's a situation, maybe there's a need in your life that you just need someone to agree with. Just come on up here, and our prayer team would love to just pray with you this morning. And so bless you, everybody. Let's go for it every day. Let's believe God has something awesome for us. Amen.